I'm good.
All right. I can hear you fine, and it's not clipping. That's good enough for me. 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our series of intervention interviews. I'm sitting here with the very awesome Terry Malloy.
Ah.
How are you doing today, sir?
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed.
Fantastic. Thank you again for sitting with us and just taking a little bit of time out. First and foremost, how have you been enjoying the weekend?
It's been brilliant. I mean, they should actually rechristen it Relaxacon. It's just such a lovely atmosphere. It's sort of laid back, and people are chatting and sort of meeting new friends and going around. There's a lot of networking going on. It's a really lovely convention.
Yeah, it's become one of our favorites because you know, it's definitely not. We go to a lot of different conventions, and they're a lot more hectic than this one.
Yes.
So I totally agree with you on the whole. It's just a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like Oni's other convention, Regen, was a little more high impact, but that was just because it's a strictly Doctor Who con.
Strictly Doctor Who. Mm. A lot more people, you know, are way more gravitated towards Doctor Who. And by the way, it's really cool that within a matter of months after you being at Regen, you were just like, yeah, absolutely, I'm so down with the idea to come to.
But the great thing about this, I mean, the thing that attracted me is that it's a convention for creatives, for people who work in the creative industry. And Ernie and James, bless them, invited me to come along and run some audio drama workshops and also promote Cosmos, the web series that I've been working on. And that's great because you're sharing information with people who are in the same area of work as you or similar area of work or certainly know the creative process. And it's, you know, you have a shorthand which you can deal with things and you move forward into other discussions. And it's just so refreshing, you know.
Yeah.
For me, it's a new departure doing this because I'm normally
at
something like a Doctor Who convention. You're sitting behind the table signing photographs, and if they're the big ones, they're totally impersonal. You don't really get to know people or chat to them or anything. They're hustled on by minders and things, you know. For me, conventions and fan-based conventions are great because they're run by fans for the fans, and there's a commonality that's like being part of a giant extended family. And your commonality is that particular show, whatever it may be. Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, anything. That's your basis, whether you've been behind the camera or in front of it. And at somewhere like here, the commonality is that everyone here are creatives. They've stood out, they've walked over the line and said, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
You know, I may be hit, knocked down a few times, but I'm going to persevere because this is what I want to do. It's in their heart to do it.
Absolutely.
And for me, it's fantastic and lovely to hear people's stories about you know, what they started doing and have been able to do. And I think that's probably why it's such a success and such a nice con to be at.
Yeah. And now, let's backpedal a little bit. You're doing a series called Cosmos?
Yes.
And what's that about, sir?
Cosmos is a 5-part new science fiction web series, which was kick-started.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, yeah. We put it out and put together £30,000 to kickstart and make this 5-part web series. 15-minute episodes, and they're going out. They'll be going out on the web, and they'll be free to watch, absolutely free to watch. But we're marketing it in a slightly different way. We're not asking people for money, but we're asking people to view it. So it's a bit like crowd viewing, because people can go to the website, they can register to view the trailer for it, and once we've had so many viewings of the trailer, then we unlock episode 1.
Oh, wow.
And the same thing will happen with episode 2. So we're building our audience as we go. And
and that encourages sharing, and that encourages
absolutely.
People to
and people say,
come
hey,
in and
you know, you've
it.
Got to watch this, or please watch it, otherwise I'm not going to see episode 2.
Yeah.
So that's a good model. I've never actually heard of that before.
That's brilliant.
That's something that Cy Horrocks, the director, he's worked on crowdfunding for about 10 years on different projects. And it's something he thought might be a good model to try. You know, we'll probably iron out the wrinkles, you know, and and see how it goes. But certainly it's going to be very addictive once people get into the actual series. The trailer is a bit kind of, whoa, what's happening here? But when you get into the first episode, by the end of the first episode, you say, what is happening here? You know, because it's so dark and psychological. Set in the near future, it starts with a young woman in bed in a coma, and her husband, you know, by her side, talking to her all the time. and she's been in this coma for 4 months. Her family and the hospital want to turn her off. But her husband doesn't, because he thinks she's still there, and they're saying no brain activity, there's nothing there. But nobody will admit to why she's in the coma. All they keep saying is, well, we knew this was coming. So what's happening here?
They knew it was coming.
Okay. How did they know it was going? Well, what was coming?
Red flag.
Yeah.
Red flag. What does that mean?
And it's the beginning of his journey into the cosmos. And I'm not saying what the cosmos is or where it is or who it is.
Yep, you're gonna have to see it if you want it.
But, you've got to log in there. If you go to entercosmos, that's all one word, entercosmos.com, it'll take you straight to the registration page. You can register, or you can register through social media, Facebook, Twitter. It doesn't cost you anything. And when it goes out, it won't cost you anything because we've got the money. We did it. We kickstarted it.
Awesome.
We're not asking for money. Contrary to what a lot of programs do, is they make it, then they launch it on a particular date. We want the interest to build so it evolves naturally through the audience, because if we go to a second series, then the audience is going to be even more involved in the actual ideas that are going to go into where we go in the next series. I mean, in the first series, we had a lot of the backers. They were either in it as extras, or they shadowed the producer, or they would send in a piece of personnel item of their own, and it would appear on the set somewhere, but just featured slightly. So, you know, there's little moments of discovery within the screen that give the people who have helped to make it ownership of it. And also, because it's kickstarted, the creative process is in the hands of the creative, not into a group of suits in a room 4,000 miles away who are making decisions that you don't want. So that's the exciting thing for us, as a thing to produce, but also as a thing to market and hopefully get people on board and excited as much as we are.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So those of you out there, watch Cosmos.
Yeah. Entercosmos.com. Go to it.
All right. Now I have to ask a question. Now, you did 3 voice actor panels this weekend?
I did 3 audio panels and another one talking about Cosmos. So I did a main panel in the main room, and then I had three separate workshop panels on audio drama.
Now, when you do the panels on audio drama, or say people who are interested in voice acting, how do you break that down for, like, say, a beginner?
Well, this is a difficult point. When I came here, I had no idea of what level people would be at. I didn't want to be going in and sort of basically asking my grandmother to suck eggs. But also, I didn't want to be so way along the line that people who didn't really, weren't up to that speed were going, what's he talking about? So I've had to stage it in a particular way. But from doing it that way, it's given me more insights and ideas of what to do next time. Because we work very particularly on listening, on preparation to do the audio, and looking at a script and things like that. And then today we were doing performance where people were actually getting up and using that script at the mic, but then listening back to the original to see how that fitted in what we were trying to aim for and whether we got there. And I have to say, people were brilliant. It was certainly in the right ballpark area of everything that was on the original broadcast, because we featured Under Milk Wood, the Dylan Thomas play for voices with Richard Burton as the narrator. And people were great. They were right in the groove of it.
Which, by the way, I looked it up on YouTube after I was done with the course, and I noticed it's a movie also.
It was made as a movie, but not they change, like with all movies, they change it. So it's in the movie they got this great love story between Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton as the narrator and Polly Garter. Well, they never meet in the radio play. The narrator is purely overseeing this village, this little Welsh fishing village called Llanegin, through the course of a day, from the dreamers at night into the day, and all those characters and their daily grind through the day and out into the night again. They turned it into something, a slightly different animal.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But it's, I would suggest people get hold of the audio tape of it, or the DVD, of the CD of it, which the BBC put out in 1964. And is now still available.
Awesome.
Sorry, no, I was just checking the time.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Well, let's see here. Do you have any other questions?
Okay, now, when it comes to... Now, you said that convention like this, it's a lot more laid back.
Mm.
Now, but it seems with you did about four panels altogether this weekend. Does it give you more time? Like, are you more energetic after a con like this? I mean, just because, you know, you had the panels to go to, but you're not just signing all day.
Oh, no. I mean, there's been very little signing at this one. I mean, unlike Doctor Who conventions where people come along, they want to buy autographs, I'm not into that at this point. This is just the stuff there if people want them, but you're basically, you know, interacting with people, talking about their loves and likes and dislikes, like my own. But now I get excited talking to people. You know, yeah, it's a tiring day. I mean, as you probably know yourselves.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, you think, right, you know, if I have one drink, I'll fall over, so I better fall over near the bed, you know, because
right.
I won't wake up until the next morning. But that's some of the joy of a con, you know, because you're alongside a con like this, you're alongside like-minded people, you're sharing that moment together. So even when you get to the end of it, you think, oh, damn, I've got to go back into the reality bomb now, you know, and face what's out there, you know.
I mean, I know that after cons like this, cons like we go to, you know, huger ones as well, we usually afterwards, we have the, like, post-credits Avengers, like, just laying there, like, getting food and, like, just worn out, just you know.
Yeah.
See, but the thing I love about this particular convention is that we network the most at this con as against other cons. Like, we've been to, like, Awesome Con and MagFest, and, you know, they're bigger conventions, you know, to get more of a draw, but we get more done here than we do in, like, the other six conventions we have in the year.
Right.
And it's because it's such a tight-knit community, and people have, you know, people are like, hey, I saw you from last year. Hey, do you want to talk about doing some stuff this year?
You know, it's like I remember you, and I saw something that you did, and I've been meaning to talk to you. You get a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's really cool.
That's great.
Also, you know, one doesn't expect to see Terry Molloy walking around and then talk to you for 25 minutes about stuff in that day.
I'm just an ordinary person.
No, but
I know what you mean, because there are big conventions I go to where you're hustled away down corridors, you don't get time to talk to people.
Yeah. Right.
You're sat behind a desk and your mind is sort of moving people on, you know, which gets me annoyed. And I just say, no, I want to talk to them. No, we've got to get the queue moving. I say, well, go and move your queue somewhere else. I'm talking to this person at this particular point.
What's funny is, like, I actually heard a friend of mine saying that was kind of how Shatner is. William Shatner is. The mover's there, but not for you. They're there for Bill, because he will just sit there and talk for hours on end. And it's just like,
it's an honor, because, again, and we probably mentioned this during our interview with you at Regen, is that we were raised on your version of Davros.
Yeah.
And so you're a big part of our, you know, our whole Doctor, growing up on Doctor Who. And to get to talk to you in just, you know, just a personal sense is a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm gushing.
We all gush. I mean, I gush to people. I mean, I've had, you know, I've met actors that are my heroes, and I'm totally tongue-tied and drool and dribble, you know.
I was kind of the same way too, like, because, you know, I'm an aspiring actor as well, and it's, you know, I know exactly what you mean, like meeting somebody that you grew up with, like hearing their voice or seeing them on the TV, and you're like this close away from them, and you're just like, hi. How are you? You know,
I love you.
I love you.
Can I lick you?
You know, I think if, like, Kevin Conroy ever even acknowledged me, I'd just be like, I'm done. I'm good. It's like Batman just said hi. And it's like,
that's enough.
You know,
can die happy.
Do you have let me ask you a question. And I like to ask this of all actors who have, you know, who know their stuff, and you obviously know your stuff. To anybody who's thinking about getting into acting, or has been acting for a while but can't really get a break, or anybody who's just kind of in a rut but they really want to do that, what advice would you have for them?
Wanting to be an actor, don't. I say don't, unless you have got an absolutely burning desire in your gut to do it. You can't think of doing anything else, and you're going to do it. It's a flopping hard business, much harder than when I started. You know, and I say to young actors in the UK, you want to do something, you've got to do it. Don't sit around waiting for the phone to ring, because it won't. You want to do it, you write it, you produce it, you get finance for it, you put it out there, whether it's an audio play or a theatre tour or a small budget, a mobile phone film, whatever, do it. Because that's part of the creative process, which is exciting, and you will get knocked back. You will. I mean, I read a thing yesterday in the Cosmos thing from Cy Horrocks, who's the director and producer, about rejection, which is very relevant to people who work in the creative industry, because we all get rejections, and we think, why have I been rejected? I've worked so hard on this, and I've been rejected. What are they playing at? How do they know how that feels? Mm-hmm. And he says, wait a minute, you walk into a bookshop. How many of the books in there are you really going to want to have a look at? Maybe one in 50, 100?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you've automatically rejected 98% of the bookstore. Right?
That's very true. That is.
You then, of those ones you've chosen, how many of those would you actually buy? Maybe one in 50?
Yeah.
Okay. You take those, how many of those will you actually read? And maybe another one in whatever. So you have literally rejected 98, 99% of the books that are there. Yeah. Not for any I don't like, well, some of them might be, or it's not my interest, but nothing personal about it. It's just that's where my focus is. And so we've got to realize that actually rejection is part of the process, and the people who are rejected the most end up being the most successful because they've continued. Because they've gone into that boxing ring, and it is a boxing ring, and you go in a boxing ring with a boxer, you get hit, and it hurts. But you keep going because you got into the boxing ring, which makes you a hero in the first place. A lot of people won't even get into the ring. Oh, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be this. It's going to be difficult. Unless you just get in there and say, well, I'm going to grab it by the throat and give it my best shot, and I'm going to do it because I have to do it. I have to. Not I want to do it. I have to do it. It's that burnt into your soul that you've got to do it. And you'll succeed. You'll fail, but... that's the nature of the business. And I went into acting probably because I've got a thirst for insecurity, but also it was either that or be a musician, and I thought being a musician is far too hard. Acting's dead easy and there are more days off, so I'll go that route.
That's fantastic. Alright, Colin, do you have any other questions? All right. Well, thank you, sir, for being on with us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, thank you for all the tips in the workshop. And it's just been an honor having you on here, sir.
Great.
Thank you so much.
I hope to see you at Regen next year.
Absolutely. We'll be there.
Excellent. Let's make it so.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.